Let's go to the KRDO Newsline and visit with reporter Aaron Rial, who's joining us right now. Aaron, good morning to you. It's kind of interesting, this new study that shows how much a single person needs to live comfortably. What'd you find out?
That is basically smart asset. They did this analysis of data from the MIT Cost of Living, and what it found is that to live comfortably in this country, you generally are going to need $89,000. That's an incredible number. If you look at Colorado, it's $103,000. This is for a single person. So comfortable, it's actually defined as a monthly income that covers the 50-30-20 budget. So that allocates 50% of your earnings for necessities. That's like housing, your bills, utilities, et cetera, 30% for discretionary spending, and 20% for saving or investment. This number is really, really telling, because this is not, you know, people making it rain and, you know, chartering yachts. This is paying your bills and saving some money, and it's well above almost $80,000 in every state.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for the people listening out there, if you hear those numbers, don't go into journalism, because it does not pay like that. Never has, never will.
And what's interesting is that the average salary in the U.S. for 2024 is $63,795. Now, here's the number and the stat that I find most concerning. The top 10 states where it's least expensive to live, number one is West Virginia, and you need $78,790 to live there comfortably. 63 is the average, 63,000 the average for a U.S. worker. 78,000 in the cheapest state is how much you need to live comfortably. This is a problem long term that needs to somehow resolve itself, and it's another indication of the whittling away of the middle class.
Yeah, and both political parties really will be honing in on that in the campaigns to come. Let's move on from that disturbing stat that we're talking about there, and let's talk about this new emphasis, or de-emphasis, I guess you would say, on standardized tests that college students usually have to take to get into a college, and now being, I guess, de-emphasized.
Yeah, in a big way. So what we're seeing is it not only de-emphasized, it's also hemorrhaging money. This is the ACT exam, the SAT exam. So welcome in private equity firm Nexus Capital Management. It's a California-based private equity firm. They bought the ACT Incorporated. That's the Iowa-based nonprofit behind the college entrance exam. They were losing $12 million last year. They lost $60 million in 2020. But now this has a lot of economists and education advocates quite worried, because they think the move is going to decrease transparency in the testing process.
Wow.
And that's because nonprofit companies, they're subject to a lot of regulatory oversight, disclosure requirements. But for-profit companies, they can really obscure how the company actually makes money to the public and potentially to regulators. And also, and this isn't intrinsically bad, but a for-profit company is supposed to answer to shareholder interest. That on its face, there's nothing wrong with that. The shareholders own some of the company. They should be have the company answer to them. But when the company is administering a test that's supposed to be unbiased, then that's concerning. Also, they have control of the curriculum. They can develop the curriculum. They have control over the entire process, this one for-profit entity. It's concerning.
And these companies that provide these tests, is there a lot of overhead in making these tests and distributing them throughout the country?
That's a great question. Apparently so, and I was kind of shocked by that. So if you look at like the SAT, apparently their revenue plummeted to $289 million between 2019 and 2022. I saw that number. I was like, they made $289 million? That's a lot. But they used to make $403 million prior to 2019. And this is because a lot of colleges ended or just erased their testing requirement. And then a lot of students now are going into vocational careers.
Yeah.
They don't see the value out of a college degree. They can't afford it. And they don't want to start life $200,000 in debt, or, you know, whatever the number may be, because you took out all these loans that you might never be able to pay back. And you certainly won't be able to fall into home ownership if you've already started your life with that much debt. So a lot of kids are just saying, no, we'll do vocational careers, or we'll do apprenticeships. They are taking that route. And it's at the same time that colleges are no longer requiring entrance exams like they used to. Some are, not all. And this, I don't know how this plays out long term, because if we want to participate, America, on a global playing field, you better believe other countries are requiring testing.
Yeah.
And the easier we make this, the more we sell to private entities that want to have more kids take them in order to have better opportunities. I don't know where how this works out, but it's concerning to say the least.
Yeah, and when the kids leave, they need $100,000 to live comfortably. So it's kind of an it's kind of an interesting thing. Erin, thanks for the time as always. We'll look forward to the next one.
Thanks.